You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today's going to be probably one of my shorter shows. I've been a little bit under the weather. I even debated whether or not to have a show today. I have some catching up to do. But I wanted to highlight a story, and let me illustrate it by my own situation. Usually in the fall, and it depends where I live, but when I was living in New York, New Jersey area, for example, in the fall, or actually before the fall, usually in mid to late August, I started to get hay fever, rather bad. As a matter of fact, my worst experiences were when I was living in New York and New Jersey, and I'm from New York and New Jersey. Graduated from high school from New Jersey, but grew up and was born in the New York City area, lived on Long Island. So I had severe cases of hay fever in September and October until the very first frost that killed the ragweed. I'm primarily allergic to ragweed, and I would have runny eyes. I was constantly rubbing my eyes, runny nose, sneezing. And I took some medication, but it really didn't do that much good. Now, when I moved to California, I had very little hay fever, hardly any at all. And I really liked California, especially when I was living in Berkeley at the time. Then I've moved around, and I've had sort of a mild case in Ohio, and then I've been in the Texas area for going on 35 years. So I don't really have much hay fever symptoms, but I do get a little, usually about this time of the year, again, until the frost, but it's minor compared to New York and New Jersey. Now, why am I getting into this? Now, I know some of you suffer from, have allergies, and I know a lot of my friends, surprisingly, they're not necessarily allergic to ragweed, although some do have hay fever problems, but you also have people that it's different types of plants, and it can be throughout the year. Now, imagine either you had hay fever or maybe it was flu, and you have a runny nose, you're sneezing, your eyes are watering, you're fatigued. You go to a doctor, and they're going to recommend usually over-the-counter medicines such as Sudafed, Actifed. They have generic versions out. There are other medicines to take. But what if we had instead, you went to the hospitals with these symptoms, or even the flu symptoms? Most of you have had the flu. I've had, and probably have, in my entire life, the worst I had, and I still remember this distinctly, I thought I was going to die. I was fatigued. I had all the symptoms, runny nose, cough, headaches, felt terrible, vomiting, diarrhea. And it hung on. Usually when I get the flu, like most people, it's a week, maybe 2 weeks tops. This probably lasted upwards of 3 weeks. I didn't go to the doctor because I knew it was a virus and they can't really do anything for you except treat the symptoms. Now what happens? What if we have a case of Ebola in the United States? Not one case, but several cases. You go to the doctor with flu symptoms, they don't know. And what if the number of cases multiplies and multiplies and multiplies? In other words, the reproductive number, what they call R0 or R0, exceeds 1 or maybe even exceeds 2, where every person that actually develops a case of the Ebola virus actually infects one or more people. Then you have what's called an epidemic. And the problem is, most people today live in large cities or suburbs of large cities, usually along the East Coast, the West Coast, and major cities along, for example, our Great Lakes on rivers, including Dallas. We're on You see the problem? Ebola in the United States, if it ever spread, ever got here and spread, will cause panic, will cause terror. More terror than really the Islamic State, which I've been going on about for the last couple of shows. Because if you, and the government is saying, and this is true up to a point, that the only way you can get the Ebola virus is through actual physically touching the body fluids of another person that's infected. In other words, their blood, their perspiration or sweat, and any of their liquids. Now, I'm not going to bore you with the symptoms because most of the symptoms early on are the same symptoms for the flu or, for that matter, hay fever. It is in the late stages of this illness where you get bleeding, and that's ultimately how you die. You bleed out, and there are gruesome pictures that I'll let you discover online. And I need to say this, the way you listen to this show is go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. At the very top, you'll have links to my most recent shows, usually 60 to 80, the most recent shows. At the very bottom of that page, you'll have links to my entire portfolio of shows, except for the very early ones that unfortunately we overwrote by accident that are not available. But in between, you have a lot of information. And there's one article there that I want to call your attention to. Read that article. I seldom point to one source, but read that article. So listen to the show, please, but read that article. And let me give you the title of the article. And Ebola Mathematics, Stark Warning of Disease Spread. You need to read the whole article, but here is the bottom line. It's referring to a research paper about experts in this area, and it's in the headline of my post. The worst case, let me emphasize that, worst case hypothetical scenario. Now remember, it's worst case. This is a scenario. Should the outbreak continue with recent trends, the case burden could gain an additional, and I'm going to give you the round number, 77,000 cases on the low side to 277,000 cases by the end of 2014. Now, a couple of points. That's the end of 2014. It could continue and get worse. Ladies and gentlemen, this is dangerous. And why is it dangerous? Yes, the government is correct. The spread of this disease is when people touch the bodies, the fluids of the person that actually has it, and it's transmitted to that person. But here's the secret that they don't really want to talk about and will not talk about on your mainstream media. These viruses mutate. And the fear is, and it is a huge fear, these viruses are not airborne. Unlike the flu viruses that millions of Americans get every year and thousands die from, especially older people and young people. But we've had breakouts where millions have died. I'm not going to give the history because this is a short show, but I want to alert you to the fact that you need to start paying attention to what's happening in Africa. Now, many of you are dismissing this, that you shouldn't be dismissing it, because they have international flights going into these countries, and that's the problem. This is easily spread, and people are traveling to other countries in Africa and then coming to Europe, to the United States, Japan, throughout the world, the Middle East, and it does have an incubation period, and many of the symptoms. For example, here are the, and I have a graphic that illustrates this. Here are common flu symptoms that are also common to Ebola. Fever. Every time I've had the flu, I've had a fever. Dry cough, yes. Sore throat, yes. Headache, sometimes. Muscle aches, definitely. And usually in the flu, I have extreme fatigue. Now, what are these symptoms of Ebola? Sore throat, fever, dry hacking cough, weakness. Well, when I had the flu, especially that worst time, I was weak. Severe headaches, joint and muscle aches. Now, here's what's unique. Diarrhea, dehydration, stomach pain, vomiting. Those are the early symptoms. And here's the point. Anywhere from 50 to 90% of the people that get disease die. I've just got the signal. I was hoping I could go a little longer, but I can't. But then you're going to get bleeding, seizures, unconsciousness, massive internal bleeding, and you die. And about 50 to 90% die. Now, up until this latest breakout, most of the cases or incidences where we've had this in the past were in remote villages, and the numbers dying were in the hundreds, not in the thousands, in the hundreds. We already have confirmed cases of over 4,200 and deaths of over 2,200. Which is more than 50%. And who and what countries are there? They're Guinea, Sierra Leone, Liberia, Nigeria, and I'm missing one, but those are the countries, at least so far, where people have developed the disease. Now, what you need to understand, these countries are very, very poor and don't have the best medical facilities to begin with. And I've done a lot of reading on this, not recently, but a couple of weeks ago or a month ago. And I might have even given a show on it. One of the problems is, especially in previous breakouts, is the disease was spread in hospitals. You would go to the hospital, and most of the people in the hospital would die. The nurses and the doctors would die. Because initially, you don't know what you're dealing with. You think it's a flu. Eventually, you wake up to the fact that you're dealing with a Ebola. Now they know what they're dealing with, and that's one of the killers, because then the hospital staff gets infected and they spread it to the patients. You see the problem if this ever gets into the United States? Now, we have much better medical facilities, but it's going to be very, very difficult to determine, you know, do you have a cold? Do you have the flu? Do you have pneumonia? Or do you have Ebola? Now, I'm not trying to panic you, but I want you to think about what you're hearing about in Africa. Now, President Obama is sending 3,000 troops to Liberia, one, to train the people and provide supplies that they need to deal with it and some facilities. And that's needed. We need an international effort to really stop this, and we're starting to see that. And there's a reason why. This could easily spread across the world and become an epidemic, a deadly epidemic, especially, and here's the big danger, if it ever should go airborne, the world's going to be in a world of hurts. Right now, there's no confirmed case of it being spread airborne. However, there have been studies where large particles of liquid spread from one group of animals to another, one infected, one not, and these animals never came in physical contact of any of the fluids. But large particles of liquids in the air are the suspected transmission mechanism from one group of animals to the other. So you need to start paying attention. Now, I don't want to panic you, but if you're afraid, one thing to do is move to a very remote rural area and basically hide out, but very few people can do that. So I've given you a lot of information. I'll probably amplify on this story tomorrow, but it is spreading. Thousands have already are infected. Several thousand have already died. And if those numbers are anywhere near correct, we're looking at tens of thousands of people getting the disease. Who knows how many would die? If it's 50%, we're looking at somewhere between 35,000 and 40,000. Now, here's the problem. People travel, and it only takes one or two cases, not identified, and it could easily hop from Africa to the United States, to Europe, or any country where there's international travel. So start paying attention to this story. It's more important than your sports teams by far, and I know that gets a lot of attention. I'm rather sick of stories about NFL football players either beating their wives or beating their children. Ladies and gentlemen, that goes on in any, you name the industry that's been going on. It's just not publicized. And I'm not saying that's not important, but this is a life and death situation that could affect the world. Because if the reproductive number goes above 2 and it starts spreading internationally, and if it mutates into an airborne strain, this could kill millions. And we've had epidemics in the past that have killed millions rather quickly. So wake up and start paying attention to this, because it is a deadly outbreak. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College.